Hello, Wellness Warriors. Welcome back to another episode of the Wellness Inspired Podcast, a place where you can find inspiration, motivation, and empowerment in the pursuit of a wellness lifestyle. I'm your host, Sherry Davidson. I'm a wellness coach and acupuncturist in Houston, Texas, and I am deeply passionate about health and well-being. And as always, I'm here with my co-host, Finn. And if you're new to the podcast, Finn is my terrier mix rescue dog, trail runner, and loyal companion. He is also a therapy dog and greeter at Element 5 Acupuncture and Wellness. This episode is the first interview of 2024, and I am excited to share it with you. But I have to ask you a question. Are you ready to transform your living space into a well-being oasis? Today, I am talking to Candace Rogers. She is the visionary owner and principal designer of Candace Rogers Interior Design. It is a full-service interior design studio located in Houston, Texas, and she specializes in residential new builds, renovations, and furnishings. Candace is not just a designer, though. She is a well-focused advocate, passionately advancing human health and wellness through interior design. You see, Candace practices something called well design, a movement that is becoming more and more popular in the architectural and design world. And I think you're going to want to know about this. But first, I want to give you a little bit of a brief description of what well design is before I get into the conversation with Candace. And I also want to apologize for any sound discrepancies in our voices. I had a little trouble with the sound on this episode. Hopefully it all works out and you get to enjoy the content because I think there's a lot of great stuff here. So let's just talk a little bit about what well design is. And well design is an approach to creating healthier, more sustainable environments for the occupants. This is rooted in the principle of human-centric design. And well design focuses on enhancing the well-being of individuals by optimizing the built environment. It integrates research-backed strategies to address various aspects of wellness, including air quality, lighting, water, nourishment, fitness, and mental well-being. So you can think of this as holistic design. Well design goes beyond traditional design practices, incorporating evidence-based interventions that prioritize the health and comfort of the occupants. So whether applied to public spaces, offices, residential areas, or community developments, well design aims to create spaces that promote physical health, mental clarity, and overall vitality. By emphasizing factors like natural light, proper ventilation, and ergonomic considerations, well design contributes to creating spaces that look aesthetically pleasing and actively supports the health and happiness of those who inhabit them. In a world increasingly focused on the intersection of health and the built environment, well design emerges as a guiding philosophy, inspiring architects, designers, and planners to create spaces that contribute positively to the public's well-being. This transformative approach to design aligns with the evolving understanding of the vital connection between our surroundings and our health, fostering environments that promote sustainability and human flourishing. And this brings us back full circle to Candace. Candace's creations grace the pages of local and national publications, earning accolades, awards, and coveted spots in designer showrooms and architectural tours. As an active member of ASID, Candace served as a 2022 to 2023 president of the Texas Gulf Coast chapter, leading the chapter to be awarded the National Chapter of the Year. And in this episode, she is going to share her expertise in customizing homes for happiness and health. We'll navigate the world of smart home technology, explore the latest luxury kitchen and bathroom design, and examine the impact of biophilic elements on our psychological state. Our conversation will equip you with the knowledge to create a home that looks spectacular and supports your wellness journey. And I am super excited to share this conversation with you. We'll provide practical tips for anyone seeking to infuse their space with tranquility and well-being. So whether you're a seasoned design lover or simply curious about elevating your living space, this episode is a treasure of inspiration and actionable advice. Before we get started, I am planning a European wellness riverboat cruise in 2025 now. My friend Tammy Hiroka is a travel concierge and friend. She has also been on the podcast. We talked about wellness travel. She's helping me plan this amazing adventure. It will be a 7-night cruise on the Danube River, and we'll cruise through Austria, Germany, Hungary, and Slovakia. There will be active sightseeing, so hiking, biking, maybe some running. I'm really trying to get that in there. There will also be yoga, wellness talks, relaxing, and locally sourced cuisine. So stay tuned for more details. I already have many people interested, so get ready to grab your spot. All right, let's do this. Here's my conversation with Candace. Well, Candace, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you know, you're my first interview this year.
Really? Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. I actually, even towards the end of last year, I did a lot of them solo. Just it's from a time perspective.
Right.
It just was easier for me because I was trying to get a lot of other stuff done. But yeah, so I'm excited that you're here. For those of y'all that don't know, me and Candace started the Health and Wellness podcast. So she was my co-host, and that was super fun. So you guys will have to go back and check that out. Happy that you're here.
I'm happy to be here too. This is exciting.
And this is right before the Lunar New Year, year of the wood dragon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a good year.
Oh, good. I need a good year. I do too. I think everybody is hoping that 2024 is a good year. I mean, everything that I'm seeing is people are feeling really positive about this year. So,
well, good. Well, maybe that positivity will, you know, make its way and ripple out into the world and affect everybody. So, but you're here today. So thank you for being here. And we're going to talk about well design.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. I'm still learning a lot about it. I'm going to look to you to educate us.
I'm still learning some stuff too because it changes, you know, and things evolve. But
Well, fun. Well, tell everybody who you are, a little bit about your background, and we'll just start from there.
Well, I'm Candace Rogers, and I'm an interior designer, mostly residential interior design, here in Houston, Texas. And I have my own design firm, Candace Rogers Interior Design. Majority of my business is with remodeling. I do a lot of remodeling. And then, of course, I am a full-service interior designer. So I do from beginning all the way to the end. So, you know, helping people with their selections and design in the construction phase. And then all the way through to the furnishings and accessories, like the finishing touches. Mm-hmm. So that's basically... I've done some small boutique commercial spaces, some wellness spaces, Pilates studio, things like that, but just small boutique spaces.
Yeah. And I knew Candace when she was doing all of her schooling.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That was fun.
I just started.
Yeah, that was fun.
And then I found out that you were an interior designer. We didn't know. So that was a great connection.
Yeah. And I got to follow you. I've followed you through your whole school, career, everything. And you've done really well. So,
Thank you.
So congratulations on all of that. It takes a lot to get out there and start your own business.
Yeah. It's definitely has its challenges, but it's also really fulfilling at the same time. I wouldn't have it any other way. So I'm just happy with having my own business and being able to help people. That's been really great. So
Well, very cool. Well, so how did you get into well design?
Well, I don't think that I actually consciously got into it. Mm-hmm. It was before I professionally got into interior design. I built my own home in Atlanta, Georgia, with a wonderful architect team called Tax Studios. And I worked with them, and it was through that process and the way that they did their professional, you know, the way that they did their professionalism, they taught me a lot about building. Mm-hmm. And they're also, I wouldn't say that they would say that they're into wellness design, but they're always thinking about the occupants of the space. And so after building that home and building it the way that I wanted it to be, I just realized how your home can support you and how happy it can it can make you just to be in that space. Like I always felt like I was on vacation when I was at home. I was so happy when I was at home.
Yeah.
And that just makes a huge difference in your entire life.
Yeah.
And so from that point, that's when I was always interested in interior design, but that's when I really was like, this is the part that I like. Mm-hmm. And so the home that we built was what we now call LEED design. And LEED, for the people that don't know what that is, LEED is more about the construction of the home and the build process and how that impacts your environment and the sustainability. But with wellness design, it is focusing on the occupants in the space and how they live and thrive and function in that space. And I just think that that's so important because your home can actually support you. So that's how I kind of got involved, because I just feel like that's how interior design should be.
Yeah.
It's the way you're thinking about your clients. You're thinking about who's going to be living there. Mm-hmm. So I also think that's why I love doing remodels and I love working with a space that already has the clients or the people that are going to be living there, because then I feel like I'm helping somebody versus working on a build that we call a high end, like spec home, where you're not sure who the occupants are going to be. You can still work on thinking, you know, okay, well, this could be something that an occupant would want, but I just find it more fulfilling when you actually can talk to the people and you can help them get exactly what they want in their home.
It's more personal.
It's more personal. Yes.
Yeah. No, I really like that. You know, and I know I've told you this many, many times, but I love my 1930s apartment.
I know.
I can't say it has the best air quality and, you know, all of that. But I love it. And, you know, even when I had COVID, I was there. I was super happy. Like, you know, like I wanted to be out in the world, and I realized how much I enjoy being out in the world and functioning in the world and being a part of it. But at the same time, I wasn't going crazy either. I was, because I love my space. Mm-hmm. It nourishes me. Mm-hmm. And so I totally agree with everything you just said. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because during COVID, my business, my profession actually got busy because people were at home and they were looking around and realizing that they didn't like their places.
Yeah. And they're like,
So it's great that you love your place. I think it's wonderful for people that can say that they love their home, that they're happy at home, that they can make all these memories and, you know, whether they want to entertain with friends or they just want to be by themselves. And we talked about the snug space where you want to, you know, rejuvenate or you want to relax, whatever it is that you're wanting in your space, you can make it happen. So,
Yeah, no, I think that's so awesome. I think that's so important. I talk about that a lot on the podcast, and that your environment impacts you greatly.
100%.
So be thoughtful about it, you know, and it's I feel like homes are a reflection of who you are. And I think it's a good idea to be mindful and look at your home and see what's being reflected back to you.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like, I see all these trends and what's popular now and all this kind of stuff. And you know, I understand that trends, you know, you do want to follow some of them a little bit, but
it keeps it fresh.
It keeps it fresh. I mean, you don't want your home looking dated, but also I think if you're constantly following the trends, you're not, your home is not a reflection of you.
Yeah.
You're copying other people and it's just a space then.
I mean, I'm so glad you said that.
Really?
Yeah, I am, because I said that on the last podcast. I was like, it's so important. Like I talked about trends, you know, and I was having a hard time articulating it on the podcast, but I think you just said it. It's like, I feel like it's just scratching the surface. It's like, it might be your style, right? It might be that you like modern and that is your style, but that's not really reflective. You're just kind of scratching the surface.
Exactly.
You know, like you're maybe doing some self-discovery and really figuring out, yes, I like modern, but how can you really make it your own?
Right. And that's one of the things that I kind of, with my practice that I do, I really like to get to know my clients and meet with them. And I ask them a lot of questions because I really want to get to know them, because I want that their space to be a reflection of them.
Yeah.
And it's not about me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in interior design, it's about sometimes the interior designers, it's about them. Yeah. It's not about me. It's about the clients. And, so I just try really hard to get to know them. And even my favorite clients are the ones that have things that they want to keep. Like like, oh, I had this, or this was passed down for me. This means so much to me, or, you know, something that maybe we could frame and put on the wall that they've saved, or people that travel that have things from their travel. So it reminds them of happiness and good times, and, or maybe they collect, I like to collect art. So maybe, and I collect art that means something to me. I always say when I look at a piece of art, I have to feel something.
Yeah.
And I used to say, I know this is nerdy and this sounds weird, but I can't buy it unless I feel good about that piece of art. Yeah. Like, it needs to make me happy.
Yeah.
And so I like those kind of clients because I want to incorporate those things. I get excited about that. So when they say, oh, I have this chair, I know, you know, it. Somebody had a rocking chair and they're like, I know this may not, you know, fit with the aesthetic, but it was my great grandmother's and she passed it down. And I'm like, no, this is awesome. This is great. We're going to use this. You know, we can refinish it or, you know, put a cushion on it or, I've upholstered antique chairs that were passed down from somebody's family that they wanted to keep. So,
and do you, so I like all of that. I have an idea to do, well, I came up with the topic. So I've done some research and started writing, but it's called Good Design Should Take a Lifetime.
Oh, I love it.
Because I think if you're really designing like that and you're incorporating pieces from your travels, it's like it doesn't just happen all at once.
No, it doesn't.
It happens over a period of time.
I totally agree with that because even like with my home, it's constantly evolving. Well, I don't ever think that it's finished. Like I look at my own space and it's never finished. I'm always moving stuff around. Now the furnishings that I have, I've had for a very long time. I try to buy things. I don't recommend buying fast furniture. If you're just starting out and maybe you're very, you know, budget conscious, but I still think it's better to buy investment pieces that you can keep over a lifetime. And even if you move, they can be put in different areas and be used for different uses. Things can get reupholstered. I hate the throwing away and buying new stuff constantly because a new trend has popped up. So.
So maybe having some core pieces like your sofa, your bed,
dressers,
and
chairs,
changing colors, or maybe changing
accessories.
Yeah, accessories kind of like you would
easy to change.
Kind of like your clothing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's even so your funny. Clothing, you have core pieces.
Yeah,
that
the little black dress,
nice structured black blazer that's never going to go out of style. But then maybe you'll buy some trendy, you know, jewelry or a scarf or something to kind of keep up to date. Same thing.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. As far as well design, so we've talked a little bit about how your space can impact your well-being and create happiness in your life. What are some other things that well design?
Well, we talked about how well design was thinking about the occupants of the space. Mm-hmm. So you're really thinking about the health. One thing is lighting. Lighting is very big. Whether it's, I always recommend as much natural light as you can have. I think that is
huge. I love that.
If you can't, then you can do different levels of lighting. Lamps, overhead lighting, cabinet lighting. And I always recommend that things be on dimmers so that you can adjust it for whatever time of day
it
is or something like that. So lighting's big. I think water quality is big. If you don't have access to good water filtration or quality, you can do like a reverse osmosis. You can do filtration. You can do water softeners, things like that in your home. I think good water quality. Also your thermal environment. So your temperature. You know, we've got these smart thermostats now.
Yeah.
And also getting a really good HVAC system in your home is important.
See, I'm pretty sure I don't have that.
Well, it's harder if you're in an older space.
Yeah.
But even if you could get
I have an air.
The
I have an air filter. I have the
air filters.
Molecule.
Yes. Yes. I have that. Those are really, really good. So you can incorporate those into your home to get good quality air.
Yeah.
I also think just being able to open up your windows and getting fresh air coming in all the time, I think is really good too, instead of everything, you know, being locked up. And then also just, I think like we talked about having things in your home that make you happy, and then also things in nature.
Biophilic design.
Yeah, biophilic design. And biophilic design isn't just about plants.
Yeah.
But if you can bring that things of nature into your home, whether it's, you know, things that are made out of natural wood, natural wood flooring, even the shape of furniture, if it can have more curves and things
more organic,
like that, more organic things in your home. I went to... see, this was one of my kind of bucket list things. I went to Georgia O'Keeffe's home in Santa Fe, and it was amazing.
Really?
And she had a lot of organic things in her home, kind of like Frank Lloyd Wright does. But she had all of these stones and pebbles and rocks that she had collected from her land, and she had them all over her home. And I'm a big shell collector. And I was like, I need to put these out. These things make me happy. It brings the beach and nature to me. So, you know, even things like that, or your artwork, if you don't have access to a really nice view out of your window, you can bring in nature, you know, in your artwork and things like that. So,
yeah, I love biophilic. You know that, though.
Well, I mean, they've shown that biophilic design, I mean, the studies have shown that it really, really does help your health and your wellness. It lowers stress levels. It helps with your cognitive abilities. It helps
creativity.
Your creativity. I mean, so.
And they did this study in hospitals where if the patient had a view to the outside and had a nice view, that their pain levels dropped. And their hospital stay dropped. So that's just proof. Proof is in the pudding right there.
Exactly. And I think that if these medical facilities and places where people need to lower their stress level, I think if they adopt this design principles, I think it would be much better for humans in general. And even at the workplace, I think people are starting to think, well, how can we make people happier at work? And instead of having the, you know, the CEOs and the COO, they have all the exterior offices with, you know, the nice natural lighting. They've been putting more of the, you know, everyday workers in those spaces so that they can have the, you know, the window views and the natural lighting.
So, you know, just recently while you were talking, this popped up in my head. I've been reading a book called Positivity. It's such a great book. It's my word for the year. But I believe if I recall correctly, in that book, there was a study that was done on people who were able to look out onto a horizon opposed to like a wall. You know, they had a, they had this, they could see beyond something that it affected their positivity. Right, because they could see the further you could see, if you could see the horizon, opportunities opened up, your positivity increased, opposed to us having like, you know, limited view, which that's pretty interesting.
I mean, I 100%
I believe
that.
I
had a, I used to work in a law firm, a big law firm, before I did interior design. And, yeah, I had an interior space. It was a nice office, but it was interior. There was no natural lighting. There was nothing. So I got a painting and put it on my wall, and I made it look like it was a window, and you could see out of that window, and it looked like that was a view. And it just made me happier, you know, that I had this kind of, even though it wasn't real, it was still something that I could
Your
look
brain
at.
Doesn't know the difference.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
I mean, that's what visualization's all about, right? It's like your brain doesn't know the difference.
Right.
You know the difference. But your brain's like, oh, look, it's a it's Italy.
Right. And I think, you know, if you cannot have the natural window looking into the horizon, if you could do something like that, if you love beaches, have like a beautiful beach scenery in your office. But yeah.
We're sitting right here underneath the trees.
Exactly. I know.
And, you know, I get so many compliments on that large, it's a large canvas.
I mean, it makes
canvas.
You feel like you're in the space, in the trees. In the trees.
Yeah.
I
know.
I love it.
We're talking to people. I know you guys are listening. In my clinic, I have a very large print of trees with the sun coming through. And it just looks like you're laying here.
Like you're laying on your back or looking up at the canopy of the trees.
Yeah. I get lots of compliments on that.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Trying to keep you guys all healthy in here. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about well design.
Okay. Well, we can talk about, you want to talk about some of the technology? There's so much technology going on right now.
Okay, let's talk about technology.
Technology. So there's tons of technology going on right now for wellness in the kitchen and also in bathrooms. People are really wanting that spa, hotel spa atmosphere in their primary bathrooms. And so you can basically do anything you want. I think a big thing is to actually have a steam shower in your bathroom, but also to have like coffee bars and a juice bar.
In your bathroom?
Yeah, in your primary space.
Wow.
Yeah, people are doing all that. And then the technology they've got now.
A juice bar?
You could have a juice bar.
In your bathroom?
Yeah, in your bathroom or closet or in your primary.
Yeah.
Because it's all kind of one now. The primary bedroom, the bathroom, the closet.
Okay.
People are incorporating these coffee bars or hospitality bars. You know, if you want to put some champagne in there, you can. Whatever makes you happy.
Champagne and bubbles.
Whatever makes you happy. But the technology that they've got now, they have like these smart technology for bathrooms. So you can set everything. So, and it can work with your Google or Amazon. So you could get up, you could have your whole home tricked out with technology so that when you wake up in the morning and you say good morning, some lights turn on to certain levels, you know, to help you maybe wake up. Your shower can turn on automatically and be at the temperature that you want it to be. So by the time that you are ready to jump in the shower, it's already at the temperature.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it can even turn on the coffee machine and make your cup of coffee for you.
This is like spoiling.
This is like the ultimate.
This is ultimate.
Yeah, this is the ultimate. But yeah, and of course, you know, just I think incorporating just sound, you know, even like having surround sound in your room, if you would like to listen to some nice music when you wake up or even some like nature sounds when you're going to sleep, that can help. And even putting in things like upholstered panels in your room so that it can absorb sound if you live in a place that maybe you live in the city, maybe somewhere that has, you know, a little bit more noise, you can do things like that. But people are really getting into that, you know, wanting that comfort in their space.
Okay.
And then in the kitchen, there's also all this technology to help you with nutrition. So there are refrigerators now that can have recipes on them. Oh. You can download the app and you can tell them what kind of recipes you're looking for, and it can recommend recipes for you and tell you exactly what you need.
Wow.
And it can even turn on your oven. You can turn it on remotely so that when you get home, it's heated up.
Wow.
They've got really big things in kitchens right now are the, we tested those out, the Thermador steam ovens.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we had the steam oven, there's even sous vide. And so it's helping you with healthy cooking and things like that.
Interesting.
So, there's just all kinds of technology is just constantly changing. And that's like my favorite part.
Really?
Is learning about the technology.
Yeah.
At one time I wanted to do just kitchen and bath design.
Really?
Because I love the technology so much. But, and I still love kitchen.
Yeah.
And bath design. I think I love kitchens the most.
Yeah. I love kitchens too. I feel like kitchens are and I think it's been said, it's kind of the heart of the home.
It is the heart of the home.
Yeah.
And then they've got these new, they're not really new now, but they're become really, really popular lately are these workstations. Have you seen those? The big the big, huge sinks. They're called workstations.
I haven't.
And they can come like 4 feet long. Mm-hmm. And they have these cutting boards that can go on them. Some of them have two faucets so that people, two people can be working at the same time. They've got these bowls that can go on them that so you can actually use it for entertaining. So you can, you know, have like you wanted taco night or something like that. You can have these little individual bowls. And there's just it's amazing the things that they're coming up with. But these workstations.
Does it move around? Is it mobile?
No, it's fixed? It's in space, but the things, the gadgets move around. So you can take the cutting boards off and on. They can slide. They can have colanders.
I see.
They can have things like that. And some people are doing more than one sink in their kitchen now. So you have one sink that's for prep. You have one sink that's for washing. And you could even have a small little like bar sink that's for entertaining.
Wow. Fancy.
Yeah, it's gotten fancy. I mean, it can get as fancy as you want it to get.
Wow. Yeah, I have, my apartment's so small and I have the smallest kitchen, but I love it. And I want to bust out one of the walls. I think I could do it. I think he'd let me do it.
Oh, you should do that.
I know. I should. Because it would create a little bit more of an open space in the kitchen. I asked him if he would do it, and he kind of laughed. I mean, he's a really nice guy, but he kind of laughed, and he was like, no, I can't do it. And I'm thinking, but I bet he would let me if I paid for it.
Yeah, you know? I bet he would.
Yeah. I do love kitchens. And
the small kitchens can function, too. I'm doing a remodel right now for a client, and it's a smaller kitchen, but we literally incorporated everything that she wanted in this kitchen, and she is so excited about it. And it's going to function so well for her and make her so happy. And she's going to be able to cook in there and bake in there and do all the things that she wants to do. You know, a big thing was even having filtered water, easily accessible filtered water. And she's got a refrigerator. The refrigerators now have little filtered water on the inside, not on the outside. So you can either have a pitcher that fills up in the refrigerator, or you can open it up and have a glass that fills up. So you still have that nice paneled refrigerator. You don't have to have the ice and the water on the outside, but then on the inside, it's got it.
Wow. So fancy.
I know.
So fancy.
And they have this. Did you ever go to KBIS? You did commercial design.
I did corporate design. Yeah.
KBIS is the biggest kitchen and bathroom show of the year, and it's getting ready to come up. I went last year, and that's when you see all the latest, greatest in kitchen and bathroom.
Where is it?
It's in Las Vegas.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's amazing some of the things that you see, but the technology, I think, last year was the biggest change that I saw in kitchen and baths. And I think that it's just evolving and evolving.
Oh, yeah. So fast, too. Mm-hmm. So fast. And it's one thing I don't really have a whole lot of in my space, but some of it's pretty cool. I did have a question about, I saw it was through the Global Wellness Institute, and they talked a little bit about well design, and they were talking about technology in our spaces. And then you could go to their website, not the Global Wellness Institute. I'm trying to remember the name of the architecture firm. I think it starts with a V, but anyways, I'll think of it. But anyways, you go to their website and you can click on some of their interactive spaces. And one was a bedroom. And there was a system in that would open up the blinds, right? Yes. And then it would close the blinds. It would, like you were talking, turn on the music. It would heat up the bed or, you know, whatever. There was all this technology. And I'm just thinking, is that healthy? Like with all the electrical, like it's super cool. Like, I mean, I was fascinated by it. Like, it's like, wow, that's amazing. But then I thought, do you want all of
that? You know, I have no idea about that, but that's definitely something to research about having all of that.
I don't know, what do they call it?
The waves or
I can't remember the certain waves that they call the, like there's some people that won't even have the internet in their room.
Right.
Because of these EMF waves. I can't remember the name of them. So I just question, it's cool. I would probably do it, but I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we already, I mean, that is something to research.
Yeah.
Because always, you know, when you have these new things that come about,
yeah,
sometimes people aren't thinking about the some of the negatives and long term. So that is something I would actually like to research that.
Yeah.
So I could be, you know, educated and informed, because I'm sure that that is going to come up and more people are going to be thinking about that in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that I think about with the technology is, well, what happens if the electricity goes out?
Yeah.
Or what happens if something malfunctions?
Yeah.
And then it's harder to get someone to come out and service it and things like that. So those are also the things that I think that we have to think about when we are thinking about wellness design, because even though technology is great, is it really, do we need all of that? You can still get some of these aspects. Maybe it's a good mix, you know, like not having everything, you know, controlled in the whole home.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It is cool. It's super cool.
When it works.
Yeah. I mean, we all know we have glitches on our computer all the time. Like, I can't, that printer right behind you, me and that thing butt heads all the time.
My printer does the same thing. Sometimes it doesn't print.
It's like everything's connected. I've got, you know, five people in here and it's like, I'm trying to print some paperwork and it will not print. And I don't even know how to troubleshoot it except for turn it off and turn it back on, which takes some time. And
turn it off, turn it on, restart your computer. That's exactly
it. Works, and it just,
I have no idea why mine does it. Sometimes it's, I get excited when it actually prints.
I do too. I do too. I'm like, thank God. So, but yeah, you're right. So what if that happens in your space? And it's like, well, sometimes the windows open and sometimes they don't, you know, sometimes you get light and sometimes you don't.
Exactly.
And then if it does go wrong, how do you troubleshoot it really quickly? Because,
well, yeah, because there was one shower design that I did and they weren't going to have any control, like manual controls in their shower.
Wow.
It was all done with like one of those little mini, it's like a mini iPad that you put on the wall.
No shower for
and
you
I'm
today.
Like, what happens if that malfunctions? But obviously you have other bathrooms in the house that would have manual. You could go and take a shower somewhere else.
In the guest bathroom.
Yeah. But I think about that all the time because I'm like, oh, well, if it has all this technology on it and something goes wrong with that,
what do you do?
What do you do? And how much is that going to cost?
Yeah. And then you got to call somebody
And who, you know, because technology is evolving so quickly.
Yeah.
Do these service technicians, do they understand and do they know, you know, if you go with a good brand, a well-known brand, they will have their people that can come out and service
and
it.
And you know that they've been trained.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All exciting, but lots of questions.
Lots of questions, yes.
So what are some of the common challenges do you come up against when you're trying to implement a well design?
I think it is just educating the client.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of people asking for it?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I had a client recently that wanted that, but most of the time it's me telling them about it. And I don't really call it wellness design when I'm telling them about it. It's just the way that I design.
Yeah.
So I'm always asking them, like, how do you want this to function for you? What are you wanting to accomplish? How do you go about your daily life? I always ask my clients that, like, take me through your day and your you know, partner's day, your children, like, what goes on in your home? And so that I can understand, and then I can recommend things for them. So a lot of times I'm recommending things and educating them and telling them what's out there. So I think that that's why it's important for me to be educated and to be up on things and to learn about things so that I can let them know about it.
I see.
But yeah, I don't really have a lot of people that outright ask for that. I think people are curious about it.
Yeah. And I think too, people, they don't know what to ask for.
Exactly.
They don't know well design.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think for designers or people in the industry, that's where, like I said, we need to be the ones that are educated and let the clients know that these things do exist and you can have this and this can help you and how it can help you.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, I like that. I know I've mentioned this to you before, but did you ever check out Christopher Alexander?
Yes.
Did you?
Yeah, I have the book.
A Patterned Language.
Yes.
And A Timeless Way of Building.
Yes.
He's an architect. He would have somebody walk through the land and ask them, how are you going to use this? It was not a cookie cutter architecture building, like, you know,
exactly.
architectural building.
It actually drives me nuts.
Yeah.
When somebody has a plan, has plans for a home,
mm-hmm.
and then they're looking for the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be the opposite.
Yeah.
You find the piece of land
and then
you build the home because every home is not going to work on that piece of land.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when there's, you just have a cookie cutter plan for a home. I just think it's backwards.
Yeah. It's kind of like what's going on around the whole space. You know, is there a mountain view? Is there a street view? Is there
are you facing east or west?
Right.
Or do you want your primary bedroom to be in the front of the house or the back of the house? Or, you know, is there a beautiful tree where you can take advantage of the views of that canopy? I mean, there's all kinds of things to think about.
Yeah.
And those were the things that when I built my home in Atlanta and I worked with the architect team, those were the things that they thought about and that the light bulb just went off in my head like, whoa, you know, like I always knew that's in my mind. I think I always knew that's the way it should go, but it just didn't click, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get a lot of light in my apartment and I love the morning light in there. It's just when I don't have to, you know, rush out of the house in the morning, it's just if I can sit back and have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea in the morning, it's just so relaxing to see that morning sun. It's just perfect.
Right.
In the summer. In the winter, I don't get a whole lot of light. I mean, I still get light, but not like that, but it just pours through.
Yeah, and that makes a big difference for you.
Huge difference.
There might be somebody that doesn't want any light at all coming in the morning. You know, maybe they work a night shift or something.
Yeah.
And so you really have to design for who's living
in the space.
In the space, who's occupying that space.
Yeah.
But 100%, I believe that.
So what about your challenges? I kind of cut you off there.
Well, I think just educating the clients. And then the other thing is cost.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, this technology and all of these things are wonderful.
They cost a lot.
But it costs a lot of money. It adds up. So I think the further along that we go and the more that things become popular, there will be more budget-friendly things to choose from. For example, like we talked about the workstations, there was this one manufacturer that started these workstations and it was very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that it's gotten popular and everybody wants it, there's so many different brands now
some
that are carrying it. So
up.
You can get one that fits more into your budget. So I think as we move along, everything, you know, when something is the first that comes out, especially in technology, is very expensive.
Yeah.
And then as you get more of it out there, then the cost will come down.
Come down a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the workstation station in your
kitchen workstation. Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool. So what else? Can you share any success stories?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I've always, you know, try to incorporate some sort of what I call wellness design in the space. It's just the way that I design.
Mm-hmm.
And, I talk to my clients a lot about, you know, what can support them, what makes them happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think every time that I'm doing interior design, I feel like I have a success story because I'm also, I don't want to say particular, but, I do work with people that I feel like will make me happy, like people that I want to work with. So I think I'm very lucky in that aspect that I always get to work with people that are enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And the ultimate goal is for them to be happy at the end and for the whole process to work for them.
Yeah.
You know, I've talk to people in the beginning where mm-hmm. I've actually decided maybe this person wasn't a good fit. We mm-hmm. weren't a good fit for each other and recommended somebody, you know, else.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to practice.
Yeah.
Because I want people to also be receptive. Because when you're hiring an interior designer, it's also an investment when you're hiring an interior designer and you're hiring someone because they're an expert in their field and you want to get their feedback. And so if someone isn't receptive to that, it makes things difficult. So I think that I have a lot of success stories because, I mean, almost every one of my clients I've become really good friends with.
Yeah.
And stay in touch.
It's a long process.
It's a long process. It's a very personal process. When you do residential design, you're in their homes.
Yeah.
And so I take pride that, you know, that I become friends and keep up with them. And sometimes they'll call me years later and they want to change something or now they're wanting to do something different in their home.
Yeah.
Maybe something they couldn't get to before.
Yeah.
And so I'll, you know, they'll call me and I'll come back and work for them again. So, but I also did one of my big success stories was I did this wellness studio in Maryland and that was before, COVID, before everyone was doing virtual design and I did almost everything virtually. The good thing is the clients that I worked with, I knew them. And so they had to be, you know, also involved and be open to us doing video calls and things like that and sharing pictures and going back and forth. But it really worked. And I didn't actually see the space in person until 2 days before the grand opening.
Yeah.
I went to Maryland to kind of, you know, make sure that everything was good for the grand opening to, you know, do some little fluff pieces and everything, but it worked out really great. And then when COVID hit and we were doing more virtual design or people wanted to do that, I already had a process in place.
Yeah. Cause you'd already done it.
I had already done it. So that was great. So that to me was a big, and that was early on in my, career of starting to do my own design work. So I was really proud of that project.
I remember it was nice.
Yeah.
It was very nice. Yeah. I saw the pictures.
Yeah. Won some awards and so it was good.
How are they?
They're great.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. They're doing great.
I was going to ask you something.
I know what I was going to ask you. How do you measure the success? You just mentioned that you stay in touch with your clients. They seem happy. Is there, I mean, that's obviously one way to measure it if you have happy clients. Is there any other way that you measure the success of a well space?
I mean, I just think that's the biggest part of it.
Yeah, just
is that your clients are happy with their space. That's your ultimate goal because, I mean, I think a lot of us that do interior design, the whole reason why we do it is because we want to help people. Mm-hmm. Even if you're doing commercial design, you're still wanting to help people. There's an end goal. Yeah. And so if you know that it's functioning properly, that things are working, that your clients are happy, I mean, that's when you know that's the measure to me of success.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way to really measure it. I guess if, you know, their electricity bills are, you know, low or they're feeling healthy and things like that. I think that's a measure of success too. But I just think, you know, the compliment and the thank you and the, I've had people say that I've changed their lives, you know, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's the biggest measure that you can have is when you get that happiness, you know, real happiness from your client and excitement that they just absolutely love their space and they're so excited to be there.
Yeah. That's a good, a good measure. So do you see any future trends?
Well, I just think that people are more interested in wellness design, which is great. So I think that it's coming more to the forefront where people are thinking more about, you know, how their space can support them. And they're realizing the benefits, the health benefits of having a space that supports you. And I also think the industry is moving in that direction. So So I'm a part of ASID. Mm-hmm. And ASID is a national association for interior designers. And their big thing is wellness design and sustainability. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're moving. Like it's interior design is not just about making things pretty. And that's where mm-hmm. people, I think the trend is moving, that mm-hmm. people are starting to understand that and really realize that interior design is not just decor.
Yeah.
It's more about that. And it's more about a movement. Yeah. And it's more about, like I said, the occupants mm-hmm. of the space and even the exterior of the space and how it impacts mm-hmm. your community.
Yeah.
So that's where I see the trends. I do think that people are moving back towards, I mean, this has been going on for a little while, but people are moving back towards things that are more forms of nature. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing the natural wood cabinets are back in, like the light walnut, the natural stones. People mm-hmm. are really like travertine, mm-hmm. A really beautiful travertine, a natural stone. Mm-hmm. Even the curvature of furniture, there were lots of organic shapes of things, even mm. with accessories like vases and pottery and furnishings, just these organic shapes, which I think people are kind of wanting that nature, you know, inside of their homes too.
Biophilic design.
Yeah, that's the technical name for it.
Well, I thought it was interesting that you invited me to the Decorative uh-huh. Center to do the meditation for designers.
Right.
So not only is it being promoted in the client's world, but it's also designers wanting more well-being and peacefulness and the meditation piece of that mindful meditation and that self-care that they're looking for themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Which I think is super important.
A lot of interior designers, like I know people think that it's this glamorous.
It's a lot of work.
Job, but it is a lot of work. And when mm-hmm. you own your own business, you know, it tends to, there's no mm-hmm. boundary, you know, your business becomes your life. And so I think a lot of interior designers also because they love what they do mm-hmm. and most of us would do it for free mm-hmm. that we tend to not have that work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of interior designers are looking for that.
Yeah.
Because even though they love what they do, you mm-hmm. still have to have that time where you separate, you know, your work from your personal life mm-hmm. and also your own health.
Yeah.
You know, because you're constantly thinking about other people and helping them, but then you're running around mm-hmm. and you're not getting sleep or you're, you know, working on the weekends. And so I think it's very important for interior designers, business owners to have that balance. And so I think people were so excited about, I got so much great feedback.
From the meditation. That's
that
awesome.
You did. Yeah,
that's so awesome.
People loved it.
I love it.
And there was such a great turnout too.
Yeah. I thought it went really well. And walking around after, I had some people come up to me and say, thank you so much. That was so good. So I was super pleased with how everything turned out. So I was really excited to be a part of that. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And the people at the owners of Matavol, like they're really, really, they're a kitchen and mm-hmm. they do really like nice, modern, contemporary cabinets.
Very nice.
But, they are very into that too. I mean, that's their whole thing is they also want, you know, people to function. They mm-hmm. want, they're into this wellness design. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do something for the designers that would sort of kick off this, this fall market to get them kind of in a good place. So I thought that was great. And I think that's where kind of, like when we talk about where is this going, I think mm-hmm. that's everybody's kind of coming together and thinking about this in broader terms. You know?
Well, and I think it's so important, you know, like you said, as a designer, if you don't take that time to self-care or be in a space that rejuvenates you so you can recharge, then burnout happens.
Yes.
And that is when you stop liking what you're doing. right? And that's when the stress goes up, and that's when the blood pressure goes up, and that's where the weight gain comes in,
yep,
and all of that, you know? So it really is impactful that you really do need to take that time
and be
mindful of your space.
Yeah, it impacts not just you, but also the people that are around you too. So
yeah, we talked a little bit about the community,
mm-hmm,
and like how do you see well design impacting the community more as a whole and not on an individual. And I'll go ahead and let you tell.
Yeah, I think just, you know, when you make yourself fulfilled, you make yourself happy. Yeah. When you're not anxious, when you're not stressed, you're able to put that energy out into, mm-hmm, with your family, your friends, your neighbors. Yeah. So I think that impacts a whole community because, I mean, you want people to be happy. You want people to be living their best life. And when, mm-hmm, people are living their best life, they're kinder.
Yeah.
They're nicer to other people.
Yeah, you make better decisions.
You're more decisions.
You're more creative. You're more positive.
Exactly. So it helps everyone.
It does. And I think that's one of the reasons why I love wellness coaching so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like you take someone, an individual or a family, and you work with them on their space, their environment. Well, I'm working with people, just individuals, and how they can make better decisions to live their best, healthy life, right?
Yes.
You know, like you're saying, design is not just about decor anymore. Well, when you coach somebody, that it's not about just someone's health, it's about all aspects of their life, right? So it's about their career. It's about their home life. It's about, are they truly doing what they're supposed to be doing? That all plays into health and wellness. It's not just about your blood pressure. It's not just about your diet. It's about the whole picture.
100%.
And yeah, so it's the same way with design, you know, it's about that. Well, and yeah, it's about your environment too, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that look like for you? So yeah, like you're looking at the whole picture. And I think that is super cool. And I think that more people need to be doing that. And I think more people need to be asking for it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's coming around.
Yeah.
I think that there's, you know, more education. And I think the more that designers and people in the build environment and even coaches and people like you, the more that people talk about it, the more that people will understand it. And once they feel it, once they realize how helpful it can be, then they know. But if people haven't experienced it before, if they don't understand that their environment can support them, then they don't get it. So that's where I think we just have to keep educating.
The education.
So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Maria Kondo. Is it Kondo? Maria,
uh-huh.
Is it Kondo?
Kondo.
She's always like, does it spark joy?
Exactly. I know it sounds, well, and I love that when she became popular.
Yeah.
I thought that was great because it did get people thinking in that way. Like, do I really need this object in my home? Does it make me happy? And when I was talking about the artwork, I always, when I was collecting art, that's how I was. I was like, does this make me happy? Mm-hmm. Do I get a good feeling from this? If I didn't, then I wasn't going to buy it. And it sounded cheesy at the time, but it was really what she was talking about.
Yeah.
And we could go on too about the whole like clutter.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole nother
episode. The whole clutter thing, but yes, there is something about that having less things in your home can also help with stress levels. So.
Yeah, well, it's like having a clean desk, right? I mean, I can vouch for this. Like if my desk, if I have tons of paperwork on it,
stressful.
It's stressful because I'm looking at all the things that I need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm getting hit from another direction, and then I'm getting phone calls, and then I've got to answer emails. I can't find something. And sometimes I just have to stop and clean my desk off.
I just did that to my office. My office was slowly just like consuming, because as an interior designer, you collect things.
Oh yeah.
Fabrics,
samples,
tile samples. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't need all of these samples.
Yeah.
And so I literally took everything out of my office and put it in my garage. And now I've got to get it out of the garage and into, you know, I'm returning things and things like that that need to be returned, samples and stuff. But it just gave me a whole, like, I was like so excited in my office, and the creativity was just there again. And it made such a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so I highly recommend purging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things you don't need.
Yeah.
There's one great technique, and it reminded me of this whenever you said everything was out in the garage. If you're scared to get rid of things, that you have three boxes.
Yes.
And the things that you're definitely like, okay, I don't need this, I can give this away, goes in one box. The maybes go into another box. And maybe it's not three boxes, maybe it's only two. But anyways,
maybe it's a trash box.
But the important piece here is that there's that box of the things that you're not quite sure if you want to keep or not. So you put them in that box. And then you put them in storage or in your garage somewhere. And if you don't go back to that box in 3 months, take it all.
Then you don't need it.
Donate. Yes. Or give it away. Yeah. Yes. And I always thought that that was a really great technique, because I think sometimes, as I'm guilty of this, I'll see something, I'm like, I like this. Like, it does spark joy, but I don't know if I need, like, I'm on the fence about it.
Do I need that gadget?
Like, really, it should be like, no, I absolutely need that. Okay, that stays with me. I don't know, to get rid of it. But if you are having some resistance on letting it go, sometimes when you realize you're okay without it,
yes,
for a period of time, then you're okay to let it go.
My problem is I let go of things, and then after a while, I'm like, darn it.
I do the same thing.
I wish I had that. Why did I get rid of it?
I do the same.
So that would be great to, like, just kind of, if I have the space, kind of put something like that, like my juicer.
Yeah.
I haven't used that in forever. And then all of a sudden I've decided now I want to start juicing again. So I'm like, thank God I still have that juicer, you know?
Yeah. You can put it in storage for about a year. Yeah. You know, and then if you don't go back to it in a year, then you probably don't need it.
Yeah.
But I would be that person that that will get rid of it after a year. And then 2 months later,
you're like, I really wanted
that. And then I've even done some things where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get rid of it because it's not that expensive. And if I decide to do it again in the future,
I'll buy another one. Yeah.
Right. But let's just get it out of the space for now. If it's that important, I'll buy another one.
I have that thing going on right now with some exercise equipment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I need to get rid of it because it's not getting used.
Where do you have it? Is it your rowing? Is it a rowing machine? No.
Yeah, I have a bike, a rowing machine. Yeah. I have something else. So it's in the garage.
Was it in your space?
It was in my living room. The bike during COVID was in the living room. Okay. That's when I got it.
Hmm.
And it's, the bike is still in the living room.
Yeah.
But I don't get on it.
No.
No.
Is it a Peloton?
No.
No.
No. It's just I bought it from one of my friends that wasn't using it. So now I'm
so many people bought those Pelotons during COVID. Mm-hmm.
I did get a walking pad. Have you seen those? Mm-mm. Oh my gosh, I love it.
Really? What is it?
It's a small little, it's called a walking pad, and it started because people were using them at their desks and they were putting them at their desk and slowly walking and working at the same time.
Yeah.
But you can just use it to walk. It has a remote control and it's very small. It rolls and can fit underneath your sofa or a bed.
It's just like a treadmill?
Yeah, it's a treadmill, but it doesn't have any handles or anything. So you can't, I wouldn't run on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I've gone up to 2.5 in speed and been it's okay a good walking, on it.
Yeah.
But it's just really small. I love it. And that's kind of my new thing.
That'd be kind of cool to put in here while I'm working, walk while I'm, you know, working.
Yeah, a lot of people that have those stand-up desks,
yeah,
they got those.
Hmm.
But I'll give you the link to the one
I got. That's super cool.
Because they come in all different price ranges, and the one I got was on the lower price range. Mm. A friend of mine got it, and so I tried hers, and I was like, oh, this is great. So I knew which one to get.
Okay.
So, and I absolutely love it. I hop on it while I'm watching TV. That's
pretty cool.
And I'll hop on it and walk for 30 minutes and then walk again later. And
I think it's great at a desk. I saw a social media post, and it was a bicycle. Uh-huh. Like a bicycle. And it was, the desk was in front of it, and you could cycle while you were working.
Some of them too, they have it where I think you can put an iPad or something, and to get the iPad to work, you have to
cycle. That's funny.
I need that for my TV. In order to watch TV, I have to pedal or whatever to watch it.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. That is, you know, what do they call that? Nudge design? I don't even know if that's really nudge design.
Yeah, We talked about doing it. Yeah.
I don't know if we ever, I think we might have mentioned it a couple of times. But I don't know if, I guess, is would that be considered nudge design?
Maybe.
That you're kind of promoting healthy habits.
Yeah.
Almost like you're I don't know what's the
word? We talked about like having like, you know, when you have like a big fruit bowl in and you got to walk by it all the time and there's like really healthy fruits and stuff in there, like that could be
I guess it could be the same thing. If you want to watch some TV, you got to,
that's your only option.
You got to cycle for power.
It's more than a nudge.
I know it's a lot more than a nudge. You're going to do this. So do you have any advice for, you know, people out there?
I think that if you're interested in wellness design and learning more, talk to somebody. Mm. Talk to somebody like me or somebody that's in the field, or even just Google and get some research on it.
Is there any good resources that you know?
I just think, you know, the you can go onto ASID's website. They have a lot of good resources on there. I think the Global Wellness Institute is great.
Yeah, they have an initiative. I can't remember what the initiative is called, but if you go to the Global Wellness, I can put it in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the Global Wellness Institute page and go under initiatives and just go through, I think there's a, I don't know if it's architecture, design, and it might even be well designed. I'd have to double check that though.
Yeah. And so I think just learning about it and, you know, you can start off slow.
Yeah.
You can think of one room. Mm-hmm. Maybe you start off with your primary bedroom and you're like, oh, I really want to, you know, redesign, you know, this part of my space. Or let's say you're into you want to meditate more and you want to create an area in your home or a room in your home where that can support you. Mm-hmm. Start off slow with something like that and do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Paint, you know, paint colors can create all kinds of emotions and have a big impact on your life. So if you want to paint one room, like a very soothing or neutral color, that can help too. So I would say just start off slow. And, you know, maybe subscribe to designers that, you know, are into wellness design or start following people. You know, I don't talk about wellness design all the time.
Yeah.
But I am mentioning it a lot. And so I think also just, you know, following people like that or maybe subscribing to some blogs or reading up on wellness design and seeing what that is and just trying things out.
Yeah.
I think is a good way to start.
So whenever I work with somebody for health coaching, one of the big things that we do in the beginning is we talk about a wellness vision. Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you want to go? Like, what is your best self look like? Your healthiest self?
I like that.
So I was curious because you said you sit down and you like to get to know your clients. Do you ever have them do anything like that? Like, what is it that you want your space to be?
I think it's more of, I don't really have them fill out anything. I know a lot of some people do have questionnaires that they have their clients fill out. I think mine is more just kind of the process of when I'm first talking to them and before we come up with any kind of concepts or anything like that. Those are the type of questions that I'm asking my client. And I think if you're working with anybody like a wellness coach or you're working with an interior designer, if they're not asking you these types of questions, then honestly, I would think about whether or not that person is going to be a good fit for you because those are the things that they should be asking.
Yeah.
And so I am asking my clients, you know, what are you trying to fulfill in your space? Mm-hmm. What are you wanting?
Yeah.
Are you an entertainer? Do you want to have, you know, family gatherings? Mm-hmm. Are you having trouble sleeping and you want to get better sleep at night? Well, let's talk about your bedroom and what we need to be doing in the bedroom and your bathroom that can help support that.
Yeah.
These are all types of things that I get to know my client about. So I do that in the process of the the beginning phase.
Yeah.
That's a big important thing, but it's very similar. But I think just asking, like, what is your wellness goals?
Yeah.
Like, what is a good question. Or do you have any wellness goals? Yeah. I think for me, because maybe they don't even, when you ask that question, then they can be like, oh, well, yeah, I do actually have some wellness goals.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to, a space where I can, a snug space that we were talking about. I'd like to have a space where, you know, family can reconnect and we're not having a lot of technology in that room. Something like that would be good to know. So I think that's something I'll incorporate.
Yeah.
You know, even if they're not coming to me for wellness design,
just
kind of putting that in there.
Yeah. You know, just going back to what we were talking about when we were talking about the snug spaces, and I asked you about the individuality. We said, oh, well, there's trends, right? But that's not really, it's you, but it's just kind of scratching the surface of who you are.
Yes.
But to be able to do that self-discovery and really start to uncover that piece of you, I think would be really cool to incorporate into like a design process, right? I don't know what that would look like for you, but because I feel like a lot of people don't know. And so they follow trends because they don't know.
Right.
They don't know who they are in their space and really sit down. They don't really sit down and think about how they want their space to support them or what they want from their space.
Right.
They just know they want it to look a certain way.
Right.
So to really kind of get into that, kind of the juice of like who they are and how you reflect that in a space, I think would be super cool.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's important. Like I said, whenever your designer is meeting with you, those are the things that they really should be asking and trying to get into, because you want your clients, you want their space to support them in the best way possible. So I think that's where our job is to really dig into that and ask the right questions so that we can get the right information.
Yeah.
And that way we can design for the client.
Yeah.
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 My job is to make everything cohesive and put it together. Oh, yes.
I like it. Yes.
And to incorporate the client's personality and everything into that. That's my job. But my job isn't to push a design onto the client, you know, and say, oh, this is what your home should look like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like coaching. We're not here to say, if you say you want to lose weight, I'm not here to say, well, you have to run 5 miles a day.
Right.
Because that might not be what you want to do or even like to do. And if you don't like doing it, you're not going to stick to
it. That's true.
So it's super important for coaches to do the same thing. You know, like we are here to help you and to guide you and what you already know. We just have to get in there and I'm the bridge.
That's great. I like that.
It's kind of the same. Kind of doing the same thing.
It is.
You're just coaching spaces.
Yes.
Well, I love it. I think that what you're doing is really awesome.
Thank you.
And I'm really glad you came here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. This was fun.
Yeah, kind of like old times.
Old times. We're always, you know, talking about this kind of stuff. We get really excited about it. So.
Yeah, we could probably go on longer, but we're almost at an hour and a half. So we'll.
Wow, really?
Yeah, but we talked a lot about the snug
rooms.
Oh,
that's true, too.
Yeah.
And
I'll probably keep that in there.
Edit out some stuff.
I'll probably put that somewhere in there because it's probably pretty good.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. So I guess we'll, do you have any last thoughts?
No, I just think that, you know, I think it's great that we're even talking about this topic. Yeah. And, you know, if you're interested, if anyone wants to reach out to me, you know, just send me a message, you know, send me an email. You can reach me on social media. I mean, any questions at all, I'd be more than happy to answer anything. So and point you in a direction that you want to go.
And I'll put all your contact information in the show notes so people can reach out to you.
Okay.
And it was great.
Yeah, thank you. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it.
You'll have to come back.
I will.
We'll have to do the, what I was
talking about. Yeah, like the several of us. I think that'll be fun.
We'll have a little panel.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun.
Miss Jackie Berry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast and share with your family and friends. You can also give me a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps others find me as well. To get updates on new episodes and wellness inspiration in your inbox, please join the Wellness Inspired community. Go to thewellnessinspiredpodcast.com to sign up. I'll put the link to the website in the show notes so you can click and join. Also, there's a Facebook community at The Wellness Inspired, and you can follow me on Instagram at wellness_inspired. If you're in the Houston area or just visiting and interested in our services, acupuncture, herbal medicine, cupping, zen shiatsu, or dry needling therapy, contact us. You can find out more on our website at element5om.com. That's element5om.com. And again, I'll put the link in the show notes. If you're interested in health and wellness coaching, we can connect in the clinic or on Zoom. Reach out to us and we'll get you on the schedule. And as always, I would love to hear your feedback. I am dedicated to bringing you great content that is inspiring and informative with an artsy, fun, edgy spin. Thank you so much for listening. We'll meet here again next time. And remember, never stop exploring, learning, loving, and being you. Bye.